Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. May 17, 2023. Complete faith in the Creator. The whole earth is full of the glory of the Creator is the very first, obligatory, and unchangeable law, which says that the Creator fills the whole world, moves and controls everything. Only one force operates in all of reality, and there is nothing else besides it. We need to take this statement as an axiom and as a primary law that is revealed to us, gradually, step by step. As we establish connection with spiritual nature, we reveal this truth that the earth is full of His glory. From the very beginning, we need to attune ourselves to the fact that we are striving to reveal this law. All the events of our life have only one cause. Everything that happens to us, at every second, is arranged by the Creator, and there is none else besides Him. It is said that the earth is full of His glory, because earth, eretz, means desire, ratzon. The Creator creates this desire and renews it day by day, every moment. Therefore we see nothing but the actions of the Creator. If we have thoughts that someone else is doing something other than the Creator, then this is wrong. He alone has done, is doing, and will do all the actions that occur in our lives. Therefore, this condition, this law, this principle, must enter into our lives in all possible situations so that we do not see or feel anything except the Creator. All our desires are full of the presence of the Creator in all possible forms, and in essence, we feel only Him. There is no one else who can fulfill our desires. We cannot even doubt for a second that we have received something not from the Creator, because this simply cannot be. We are inside the Creator and we reveal only Him. There is none else, only one Creator Himself fills the whole world. When we discover this fully, it is called the complete faith of a person in his Creator. From the Daily Kabbalah, May 14, 2023, the whole earth is full of His glory. The role of the Creator. Question: everything in the universe has a certain role. What is the role of the force called the Creator? Answer: the role of the Creator is unequivocal. It is to constantly educate the creation created by Him so that it comes to perfection. The upper force is everything. It includes the force of desire, will, knowledge, and decision. Everything that exists in nature at all is just the single upper force. The desire to enjoy is created within it. This single, great force of the field works on the point of the desire that develops under its influence and becomes equal to the force of the field. The desire as if swells to the size of the field, then bursts, collapses into many parts, and then begins to work on itself in order to gather together. Gradually, it gathers into that single new whole that fits into the same field. The Creator and the creation, like two flatbreads, stick together and penetrate each other by diffusion. Although they are different in their original nature, they have come to a state where they are absolutely similar to each other in the quality that now comes from them, the quality of bestowal and love. For the Creator it is primary, for the creation it is secondary, acquired. From Cab TV's I Got a Call. What is the Creator? February 21, 2011. The birth of the next degree. Question: how can you explain the birth of the next degree? Answer: the birth of the next degree is a continuation of the relationship between the male and female parts on the next level. Moreover, this level is usually higher. A child is born from a man and a woman. But his basis is the next state. The spiritual man and woman, or a man and woman in our world, are just the external reason that a child is born. Suppose a child is to be born, so a couple appears who have a craving for each other, they unite and conceive him because a certain number of souls in their bodily expression must be born in our world. They themselves do not know why they suddenly start flirting with each other, start some kind of relationship. A desire is aroused in them when it is necessary to give birth to someone from within, from nature itself. Are we doing something on our own? Although it seems to us that these are our personal desires, they in fact come from the need to develop a common system. We are inside this field like peas. What needs to be realized is aroused in us, and we involuntarily realize it, and we can realize not involuntarily, but based on our attainment. Kabbalah leads to this. From CapTV's I Got a Call. What is a man and a woman? February 21, 2011. What is a family? Question: What is a family? Answer: A family is a few related souls who appear to be closer to me than anyone else. The role of the family is similar in its form to closed cells in the body. It is mutual involvement, overcoming obstacles to help each other, and so on. There is nothing else, and as a rule it is not on the spiritual, but on the animal level of help and destruction. On the spiritual level, only the group operates, friends who are similar to me in striving for the goal. From CapTV's I Got a Call. What is a family? February 21, 2011. Michael Leitman, on Quora, what makes you criticize others? We criticize others as a result of our egoism, which makes us want to enjoy at the expense of others, and which thus makes us enjoy viewing others as smaller and lesser than ourselves. If we make no changes to our inborn egoism, then we live in this inclination to criticize others. However, if we strive to connect with others, we then start criticizing ourselves, because the egoistic inclination within us is the opposite of the inclination to connect with others. If we wish to progress to a higher spiritual goal than our earthly corporeal ones, that is, to a goal of enjoying through a new nature of giving, loving and connecting with others, then once we set that goal and place ourselves among the means to achieve it, we can criticize anything that counters the direction to that goal. Based on CapTV's I Got a Call. What is criticism? With Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman on February 21, 2011. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Time travel. Question: What is memory? Answer: Memory is a past state that I can retrieve and experience as real. Actually, there is no such thing as memory. It is just that all my states are stored within me as past parts sufim, and I can transition from one state to another. I can travel between them as if in time. In spirituality, it is absolutely real. Question: What is the purpose of this time travel? What can it give? Answer: Nothing, very little. As a rule, one should strive forward and not look back. Question: Is it possible to travel forward in time? Answer: No, because for that you have to ascend to future states and to reach them. We can only aspire for the next step and no more than that. And what awaits ahead you cannot see because these states have not yet been realized in you. It is all pure physics. There is no mysticism here. There are people who feel the future in our world. There are famous examples of this: Wolf Messing, Baba Vanga, and Nostradamus. Moreover, they did not necessarily have to be in spiritual attainment. They knew nothing about the spiritual world. They simply relied on their sensations. Wolf Messing said that he himself did not know where he got such abilities. He would suddenly enter states where he felt the future, present, or the past because they all exist. But when we talk about the spiritual, then there is already freedom of will. Therefore, future spiritual states, in principle, can be seen. But how you will approach them, either through suffering or through light, your efforts, it is unknown, it depends on you. This is what absolute freedom of will which must be realized by you consists of. From CapTV's I Got a Call. What is memory? February 21, 2011. God has made them one opposite the other. It is known that God has made them one opposite the other. Opposite each force in Kedusha, holiness, the Creator made an equal force in the Sitra Akra, opposite from the Kedusha, Zohar for all, introduction of the Book of Zohar, the letters of Rav Hamnuna Saba, item 23. Question: what is the purpose of creating the world? Why do we need two opposing forces? Answer: two opposite forces are necessary to create something. Nothing can be created with the help of one force. This is natural. We see it also in our world. The point is that when the Creator wished to create a world, that is, to create a place where His creatures can reside, He had to accordingly transfer to this world the qualities in which these creatures can exist, multiply, develop, and reach a certain upper state. From CabTV's Introduction to the Book of Zohar, April 23, 2023. Survival technique. Question: is it our task to disseminate the wisdom of Kabbalah to people as widely as possible? Answer: the task is not in the wisdom of Kabbalah, but in making a person understand that he is offered a method of existence in our changing world. After all, whatever one was taught and whatever one has is absolutely not enough for our world because it is beginning to be governed differently. Today a new governance is descending into the world, the analog governance of the Creator. The upper world is approaching our world. Moreover, these two worlds are opposite and they do not coincide with each other, so there is a sense of contradiction between them. We feel this in the form of huge, global, internal crises. Without understanding the singular analog control system where we have to perceive the world as one single whole, we will not be able to do anything. I will not be able to manage an enterprise, trade, world finance, the country, any part of it, or the common world, nothing. Another matrix is being dressed on our world, a matrix which binds all people together. And if I don't treat everyone this way, if I don't make decisions on this basis, then I won't succeed. It is like I'm solving this problem according to the wrong equation. Therefore, the world does not need any wisdom. It needs to know that tomorrow it will have nothing to eat and will not be able to escape from climatic, environmental, and other impacts. Tomorrow money will disappear. There will be some kind of problem in the world, revolutions will begin such that people will stop working. Millions of people in cities. If earlier a person had a piece of field that could feed him, today billions of people live in cities. Looting and murder will begin, people will starve to death. After all, such huge conglomerates need to be supplied with thousands of truckloads of food per day. Imagine that nothing works, no ports, no railways, nothing is delivered, loaded, or accepted. And this can happen in more than one country. What's next? We need to explain the problem to the world as well as how to solve it. They themselves don't have a solution. So what if they change the government? What can one person do? How will he be able to restore order? How will he be able to overcome, say, a month of downtime in his country? Comment: but this has been the case throughout the entire development of mankind. My response: no. There was never such scale. There was no question at all that humanity should unite. Today this is a requirement from above. Start looking at the world normally. It becomes integral, meaning, globally connected. And if we don't look at it that way, if we don't have such decision-making technology, then we won't be able to do anything. Not a single banking transaction. You will, it seems, egoistically correctly calculate with your mind everything that needs to be done, and in the end, we wanted the best, but it turned out, as always, the opposite. From CabTV's I Got a Call. Methods of Survival, February 6, 2011.